Okay, ladies, it's time for us to get real with each other. Have you ever said, I feel like I have been dieting forever and I just can't do it anymore? Do you feel like it's time for you to reboot, refresh, and retool your mindset so you can really focus in on the habits and skills that are going to give you that long-term sustainable results that you've been longing for like ever? Well, here's the thing, right? We all know how to reboot our computers. You press Control, Alt, Delete, and boom, the problem goes away. But how do you reboot your metabolism, your mindset, and your habits when you've been dieting since the early 90s? How do you shift your mindset so that you can really focus on your habits and the skills that are going to give you that long-term sustainability? Here's the thing. Women of every age have struggled with this issue. And it's not just you. And it's not just getting in shape after 40. I mean, that would be really nice. It is about managing your weight for the rest of your life with ease. And yes, it can be effortless. I don't know who needs to hear this, but how you get your goal is how you keep your goal. So if you can't drink another green juice, you can't take an extra body pump class, this is what I want you to do. In this podcast, I want you to click on the link for the Reboot and Refocus. It's a success series that I will be running later this fall, and I want to make sure you get the first dibs. So just hop on that wait list, and when you do that, when I open the doors, you'll be the first person to get in for this new free training that I will be hosting later this fall.
Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock-steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show.
Hey, magic makers. Today, I am having a conversation with Miss Susan Choi, and she is a stress expert. And I wanted to have her on the show. It's because so many of my clients and so many of you have this stress. Like, you feel that stress is just what your life is all about. And stress is just, you know, it is what it is. Like, there's no getting over, under it, or around the stress. And I wanted to have a conversation with her because she takes it from a very practical approach, right? You know, it's not 10 easy ways to bust your stress. She doesn't do any of that. Her focus is on the root cause. What is causing you to be stressed out? Because those 10 things, while they may feel good right now, they're just putting a band-aid on the overall stress. What's causing the stress? And if we get to the root cause, just like with anything going on in our life, be it a health issue or a stress issue, we can beat it, right? We can start to recognize it. And so that when it occurs in our life, we can recognize it and start to take steps to deal with it and handle it in the moment. You know, she talks about asking ourselves better questions. And you know, I'm all about my boyfriend, Tony Robbins. He says that too. And Susan says it as well. We have to pause for one hot second. And so many of us get so caught up in the moment that we don't take that moment to pause and start asking ourselves and really focus on, are we reacting or are we responding to what is going on in our lives? And we talked about the all or nothing. We talked about the endless to-do list. We talked about feeling about enoughness. She hits so many hot buttons that I am sure many of you can just take a pause and be like, yeah, girl, I know what you're talking about there. I know this. She was a stress ball. I'm a stress ball. And we are both in recovery. And trust me, life is better on the other side. So do yourself a favor. Listen to the rest of this episode. And I would love to hear at least one takeaway from this episode. Enjoy the show.
This week's iTunes review is brought to you by Jackie O. Jazz Hands. She writes, a great, funny podcast about real topics we all struggle with. Kim gives great advice and support to people to live their best life. That just fills my heart. Thank you so much for taking the time to write me that 5-star review. And for those of you who have yet to leave that 5-star review, all you have to do is go on to iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast and do the same thing, and I will read it on the air. So thank you so much, Jackie O Jazz Hands. It fills me up when I read those reviews from the heart. Enjoy the podcast.
Magic makers, I have wanted to have this conversation for a really long time. I want to have this conversation because I know so many of you think that stress is just how it is, or you can just manage stress, or, you know, this is just your life. And trust me, I was a stress ball for a really long time. I thought that was my life. And I thought living off of Tums and Advil was a way of life. And let me just tell you, let me break it down for you. It ain't a way of life. It is painful. And Susan and I, she's our guest expert today. She was talking, you know, we were talking before the show and said, why does it take people to get punched in the face 50 times for us to realize, I think I need to make a change. So instead of me prattling on, we got Susan Joy. She is a creator of the Stress Proof Life. And imagine that, stress proof. That sounds like waterproof, and everyone needs that in their life. So Susan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I was trying to hold my laughter in because I just related so much to what you were saying. When you were talking about Tums, in my mind, it was Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah.
How many times do people get that indigestion from all that anxiety and stress of living their day, and then they're eating a late lunch and it just gets stuck there?
As you say it, I was like, oh yeah, was it because I was living off of vending machine food and coffee that caused my digestive system to just shut down?
So many other factors. Yeah.
But let's just jump right into it. I think for it's a woman thing, right? Because we think we have to just like show up with a cape on our back and solve everything.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I think that some people are just wired to be able to handle more. And then other people are wired to be sensitive to stress. But then again, with that capacity to handle so much, especially in this day and age, introducing technology. Oof. I mean, where is our mind space these days? We're barely able to write a single email without a push notification coming through on our phone, or like a ding on another tab that we have of the hundreds of tabs open.
Right.
And so really, we've over time, over the past decade or two, we've just kind of learned to take on more and more and more. I mean, back in the day, it only used to be that we had a pager, you know, from the answering machine. And now it's grown to email, then social media, then text messages. I mean, it just keeps growing and growing. And so on one hand, we've learned to handle so much more. But on the other hand, what we haven't learned is to, you know, where is that balance for us in terms of, you know, how much stress can we handle, but how much result are you actually creating in your life? There's such a difference between feeling stressed, but how much of that is good stress where it actually gets you moving and doing something, and how much of that is completely unnecessary stress from your own mind.
Yes.
That actually results in no productivity at all. No results.
And I love the results, right? Because like in our mind, just by like moving, you know, it could be going through like endless emails or endless text messages, but how much productivity are you getting out of that?
What I talk about a lot is that modern day burnout, when you think about ages ago, right? So many people had physical burnout. You know, they're working in the coal mines. They're working on agricultural farmland. Like there's so much work being done on a physical level where we have to get those crops. We have to harvest them. Like we have to mine for something. But then in this day and age, modern day burnout, if you look at the results at the end of the week, of what did all that stress, what did all that anxiety, what did all that worry actually produce? Not very much, because how most people are operating are not actually on a conscious level.
No.
What's really happening is that what we're doing is that we see something happen in front of us, whether it's an email, a client, you know, you name it, soccer practice pickup. And what we do is that we personalize what that is in front of us to mean something very bad.
Right.
Like, and what's being repeated on a very unconscious level is, I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's that person again. Or, oh my God, how am I ever going to make money in my business? It's all of these things that are actually creating the stress. It's not the email. It's all of the things that you believe about your life that's actually creating unnecessary stress. And when we're feeling unnecessary stress, what do? We don't finish the email. We don't work on our business. And what we do instead is that we go to the pantry and we eat a little bit of chocolate. We make ourselves a little coffee. We scroll on Instagram. We do all the things that actually prevent us from reaching our goal.
Right. Because it's like our brain just automatically, we put all the feelings into whatever it is, the email or the pickup or the bake sale. And we get overwhelmed. And we're just like, you know what? If I just have this glass of wine, things might get a little bit better.
Yeah. And that's exactly, you know, that's, I feel like that's one of the number one stress relief myths out there is do more self-care.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, I mean, how many times, and I know my clients can speak to this, how many massages does it actually take to actually relax, to take in order to actually feel better? But really, when Monday rolls around, and the moment you step into the office or, you know, you open your phone or your laptop and all that stress comes back, it goes to show that what we've been doing this entire time is putting a Band-Aid over the symptom, which is the feeling. And we're never really getting to the root cause of, okay, but what's actually causing my stress?
And that is the main reason why I wanted to talk with you is because so many people will always talk about like, well, you need stress management and we talk about self-care. So why don't you take a few days off? Well, during those few days off, you're like, well, who's going to do my job? And what am I going to come back to by taking these few days off? And I should just at least check email or voicemail or whatever I should just check. And you talk about this, like there's so many Band-Aids out there. You're right. A massage is Band-Aids, vacation is Band-Aids. But if I don't come back to all of my thoughts and all the crazy town that goes on up in my brain, I'm always going to come back to either I might feel a little less stressed, maybe this much, but eventually that it's going to be like a volcano. It's just still going to like erupt.
Yeah. And it's not to say that those things are bad per se. Everything is just neutral, right?
Yeah.
It's how we are dealing with those things. But if during that massage, you aren't able to process what you're feeling, tie it back to what am I personalizing? What am I really believing on an unconscious level that's creating this fear and anxiety within me so that I feel so much stress all the time? If we're not being conscious during that time that we have to ourselves to really do personal work,
yes,
to really deprogram in our minds what it is that's running as like a default tape, then yes, when we go for the bubble bath and we just, you know, light the candles, it's not really doing anything unless we're actually going in and doing the work.
The thing that I feel like so many people kind of like put on the shelf, and I was one of those people. So, you know, I'm speaking from experience. I remember when I first started this work and my coach was like, you know, Kim, you really need to journal. And I was like, girl, I ain't no journal girl. I'm like, I don't need to be dear diary. This is what happened to me today. And she's like, that's exactly why you need to do it. Like, she's like, Kim, even if it's 5 minutes, I want you just to write down, this is how I'm feeling right now. And she's like, even if it's one word, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling stressed. I'm feeling whatever. Just write down, this is how I'm feeling. And she said, I'm going to ask the second question. What does this make you believe? And I was like, all right, I'll give you 5 minutes. That just exploded my world. Like my world was like, because those two questions that I don't know if anyone takes a hot minute and asks themselves, like, what am I feeling versus like, how do I just push through to the other side?
Yes. And most people, you know, when I ask them, you know, where is stress coming from?
They don't know.
And that's kind of a trick question because most people will tell me, oh my God, it's this one coworker.
Right.
Or, oh, it's the numbers in my business. Or, oh, it's like time. I don't have any time.
Right.
And then what's really happening is time just happens.
Mm.
The coworker just sits there.
Yeah.
Right. Like all of these things really
just sit in time and space. Unbeknownst that they're pissing you off.
Yeah. And then what we really want to know is what's going on inside of your brain. Mm. Like what part of your brain is freaking out? What is the thought that's driving you crazy? Like literally, because those people, again, they're just sitting there.
Right.
Right. And so we want to work with that. Really, everything out there is a mirror to what's going on in here.
Yes.
Right. It's projection of what we currently believe about ourselves and life.
Yeah.
And so yes, like asking ourselves those questions is really important, because we should be thinking these things that kind of, you know, trigger that like automatic response of stress, because it's actually a little breadcrumb of where we should be looking to within our own selves.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
It, you know, and I think because we get so caught up in that hamster wheel of life that we, I think the biggest thing people say is I don't have time. Like I know when it comes to weight loss, that's the biggest thing I hear. It's not a good time. And, you know, so the smart ass pushy person inside of me goes, so when is a good time? Right. And then like, you know, they look at you and you're kind of like, they weren't expecting that question to come back. Right. They weren't expecting me to like say, well, when is a good time? Because no one ever, like time, like you said, is always going to be there, but we just keep kicking the time down the road. And eventually, are you going to have time when you're dead? Like, when are you going to have the time? And so I think what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. Because again, like
taking that time to just be like, okay, what is truly happening in the moment? And then what do I believe is happening? You know, my coworker, she's just sitting there and she might be chattering away. And I'm like, I just wish you would just shut the fuck up. But, and instead of saying, Susan, shut up, you're just like, and just going with it.
Yeah. I mean, we have to be really careful because there's always kind of like two tracks in our mind, right? One is the one that knows, if we're very conscious to it, if we actually do the work, where it's basically like, if you think about it as like numbers, right? It's just listing all the facts, right? So the fact is right now I'm having a conversation with Kim. Now, there's another part of your brain that's basically telling you a story.
Right.
And that story is coming from all of the filters and the beliefs and the past life experiences you've had. That's then kind of narrating in your mind all the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right.
And so, you know, there's another part of your brain that might be thinking, oh my God, this is so amazing. Or for somebody else, it might be, oh my God, I'm freaking out. Right. It's going to be different for every single person, because that part of our brain that's not telling us the facts is so uniquely individual to each person, which is why you can have something happen in a room. Like, let's say there's 10 people in a room and then the lights go out and you hear a loud bang. You will have 10 different reactions, which goes to show you that it was never the thing that happened that actually creates what's happening inside of us. It's what's going on in our brain. It's what we believe, right? So some people will scream, somebody will laugh. Another people will be silent. You know, somebody will be silent. somebody will ask the question. And then another person will be like taking charge, right? It's just like everyone's a little bit different.
Or someone will be freaking out, being like, what's happening? So it really all depends on, you know, the person. And I guess also our prior experience of that. You know, when maybe something happened to us late, you know, in a former life, that darkness was always a bad thing.
Yeah. It's, but it just goes to show you that it's all our deep personalization. And personalization is something that you can work with.
Yeah.
Right. You have to be conscious to it though. You have to turn on the observer in your mind and say, hold on a second. Is this a fact that I'm contending with? Or is this the train track of my mind that's telling me a story right now?
So, as you know, so as someone who is not on the other side, someone who's kind of like in like the thick of it, how do I kind of start to, you know, I always, you know, my boyfriend, Tony Robbins, he says, you know, if you ask yourself better questions, you get better answers. And I remember that, like the first time I heard that, I didn't really understand it. And so now I'm thinking about someone who's kind of like where I was, where you were, and do they ask themselves, like, how do I start to ask myself that question? You know, that I ask myself the, like, am I just making this up in my head, or is it really happening in front of me?
Yeah. So what you want to start asking yourself the question of, right, is who's telling this story right now? Mm. Who is telling the story that this person in front of me is crazy or that I don't have time to work out or whatever it is? Yeah. Right? Because what you have to understand is that there's a difference between reacting, like that immediate default reaction, versus responding. Mm. And so we want to ask ourselves the question is, who is telling this story? And would this person's action be a reaction or a response? Right? Yeah. Because response is more of like this conscious awareness of, okay, I'm choosing to say this. Mm-hmm. I'm choosing to do this. And the reaction is mostly like that urge that we feel within us to hurry up and do something in order to relieve this tension that we're feeling in our body.
Yeah.
And that's where most people default to.
Yeah.
Because like we're not really conscious in our brains when we're doing anything. We're just kind of like, we're going about our lives.
And like our reaction is also kind of like our pre-programmed place to go. Whenever said action happens, it's our pre-programmed of like time or food or sleep or just blow it off.
Right. Right. And that's why, you know, when I work with people and I ask, stop, pause. What are you feeling right now? Mm. And literally some people, they are not able to respond. And it takes them minutes. And minutes is a long time.
Oh, you know, God. It feels like an eternity.
Yeah, because they literally do not know what they are feeling.
Yeah. And I like that because I think so, because we're in that like, you know, instantaneous world, that the pause feels one, uncomfortable because you're like, I don't know the answer. And you know, we always feel like we have to know the answer in like 2.2 seconds. But like also you're just like, I never stopped to like a process. Like it was just like, time. I don't have time to deal with it. And that's just like my like rote answer, or I'll get back to you. And meanwhile, all these feelings are still like bubbling in there that you don't know how to put a name to.
Right. Right. Yeah. But then when you pause and, you know, obviously it's like going to the gym and building a certain set of muscles, like it takes time.
Yeah.
When you do that practice enough, when you're training your mind and your body to feel an emotion, what ends up happening is that you then are able to recognize faster and quicker in every single moment in the future of like, oh, this is actually worry. It's not stress. It's actually worry. Okay. Let me just check in with my brain. What part of my brain is worrying right now? Mm. What am I believe? Oh, well, that's kind of silly. How do I know that that's really going to happen?
Yeah.
And then you start to, you know, I go through this process that, you know, emotions come up from within you because it's something that you're believing in your mind. Right.
Right.
And so when you're able to understand that you shouldn't be afraid of your emotions, because actually there's a part of you that wanted to feel it. There's a part of you that is worried. When you do the reps enough, right? Mm. When you get to know yourself enough and you get to know that emotion enough, you can then start to become friends with it and just understand, oh, this part of me is just trying to protect something. And sometimes that protection is unnecessary.
Right.
But until you get to that point, you won't realize it's unnecessary, right? You're just going to keep feeling it, avoiding it, and move on. But when you can pause and really get comfortable with yourself and be like, wait, let me just feel into this. Oh, it's that. Oh, it's that again. Okay. Interesting. Well, okay. I acknowledge you. We're good. You know, like that's kind of unnecessary, but see you later.
Yeah.
Right. Like we can release it. We can let it go.
Yeah.
But if we're constantly in resistance to it, we're like, oh, I don't need you right now. I don't need to feel this. Like, why are you here again? What happens with resistance? It always comes back.
Always. It's like a bad relative. It's like a bad penny comes back all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, as people are listening to this, they're like, okay, they're like things that I know, like known things that I make up, you know, work or other people. But then there are things like, you know, finances or job loss or, you know, family health, you know, those things kind of put a little pressure on us. How do I work through those things when it comes to stress?
So To be honest, there's not that much of a difference because that's still unnecessary stress.
Mm-hmm.
How is telling yourself over and over again that you have no money or that finances are tight or that you have no time actually helping you?
Right.
Right. And is that really true? Is it more important that you focus on what needs to get done and how you're going to get there and who you're becoming versus constantly repeating the old tape in your mind that only prolongs that energy of stuckness, that energy of lack?
Yeah. You're right. Because it's like, it kind of closes me off to opportunity. So if I keep saying, oh, I don't have a job, it just keeps me in that position of not having a job.
Yeah. And think about this, right? What we currently feel, the current vibration, the current energy of what we are feeling right now, usually has a range of whatever action we end up taking.
Yeah.
So if we're constantly in the state of no one's going to hire me or, you know, like no client is going to find
me.
Yeah. What do we do during that time? Oh, that's right. We go back down to the pantry or we go through a drive-through. We skip the workout. We don't write the email. We don't pick up the phone and contact people. Right? We're just stuck in that level because the feeling is what drives what we ultimately end up doing.
Yes.
Right. And so once we change the hierarchy, which the hierarchy is, it always starts from what's going on in your brain. What do you ultimately believe about yourself? Right. Mm. Then that trickles down and it drives the vibration, the energy, the emotion, right? Emotion is energy and action. So then it's like when you're feeling better about where you believe you're going to be 6 months down the road.
Right.
I mean, what you do is limitless.
Yeah.
You pick up the phone, you eat healthy, you work out, you meet people, you network. I mean, it's literally the possibilities are endless.
And it's funny because I was like, I'm trying to ask the question without going woo, but I'm like, yeah, you have there. Oh, there always is this element of woo. Because it's all about vibration. So if I'm always walking around like life, like Eeyore, you know, like woe is me, I'm only going to find woe.
Mm-hmm.
But if I look around, I'm like, okay, right now, yeah, life's kind of shitty, but what's possible right now? And even if it's not like, even if it's me taking one simple step, that's possible. You know, I don't have to run a marathon, but I can like walk to the end of the block.
Yes. And for those that aren't woo, because it literally, we're all saying the same thing, but just in different language. It's just what's your flavor of ice cream? Well, ice cream probably not good. You don't want your
clients. Actually, I tell my clients, I'm like, I want you to eat ice cream because when you resist, like you said, when I resist ice cream, that's when it becomes a shit show. And I'm at the ice cream parlor and I'm like eating it out of the carton.
Right. That's true. So going back to, you know, even just psychological, you know, cognitive behaviorally, right? It's proven that what you feel drives ultimately the quality of the actions that you end up taking, right? So when you're feeling like, oh, woe is me? Yes, of course, you're not going to be taking the same actions.
Right.
But when you're feeling like, and you don't even have to feel positive, you can feel determined, right? You can have acceptance over the situation. Mm. You can feel neutral. Right. You don't have to always strive for like the 10 out of 10 feeling.
Right. And I like what you said, acceptance. That's huge because I think where we get stuck in the stress of, you know, a sick relative or job or money is that we haven't accepted. This is where I am right now. And it's not permanent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's right. We have to accept, okay, here's where we're now. And then it comes back to those questions.
Yeah, because neutrality is so important in everything in our lives. Because you can put 100 people in the same situation. And if it were really true that the circumstance created the result for you, I mean, that experiment alone would prove it wrong. That model of thinking that, oh, it's because I don't have money or it's because I don't weigh this much yet that I can't be happy.
Yeah.
That's not true because you can put 100 people in the same situation and they're all going to react differently. And it's because of what's going on in their head. It's what they are personalizing inside their mind.
Yeah. That, I mean, you just hit like the nail on the head about anything that I find myself stressing about, that it's like, I just have to just have, like you say, pause, right? Feelings, check in, like do a scan. What's happening here before I mute the feeling with food, alcohol, TV, what have you?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the feeling in and of itself is also neutral.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a vibration in your body, but something in your mind is heavily resistant to feeling that feeling. And it also doesn't want to go down the rabbit hole where sometimes we need to go down the rabbit hole. We need to look at ourselves and be like, what's going on inside of me?
Yeah.
What is it about that thing that I think is stressful? That and can I just say hello to it?
Yeah.
Like, is that really true? What's going on in there? And really questioning that. Because when you don't do that work, then what happens is every time you hit up against the same person wearing a different suit of clothes, it's just going to keep happening over and over again. And you are literally going to drive yourself crazy.
Yeah. And it's, you know, as you say that, you know, I think about those people who are like, oh, I can just handle stress. Like, it's just what I do. And it's like, you've just become very astute at just like shifting from the pain.
Right. Well, yes. And also we have to be really careful with ourselves. I actually just did a podcast on, you know, another way of thinking about your brain and your heart, like your emotional center, is like if it were an ATM, right? Like you can't just keep withdrawing and withdrawing. Like there's an unlimited supply. Ultimately, at the end of the day, just like how you treat your bank account or your relationships, there has to be a give and a take.
Yes.
Because it's kind of like you can drive a car as hard and as fast as you want, but you got to take care of the engine. You got to, you know, give it the oil change. You got to give it some gas. You got to do all those things. Otherwise, this vessel that we're in right now is not going to last very long. And if it does, the quality of how this vessel operates will not be how you want it to be ultimately.
And it's funny how, you know, I think everyone hears that expression, you know, you can't give from an empty cup. And I think it's like, it's now become like that path to answer. Well, I just can't give from an empty cup. And I'm like, well, what are you doing to fill up your cup? Like, you know, you're saying it and you like, you get it. Yet, you know, we talked about massage and stuff like that, but like, it could just be like having that 5 minutes of, a good friend of mine just posted on Facebook. She's like, you know, some people don't understand this, but sometimes I just need to sit in my car for 5 minutes before I walk in the door.
Like, oh yeah.
That's self-care, right? It's like, I don't need to have a pedicure, manicure, but like 5 minutes of like decompressing from work mode to home mode, just sitting in my car for 5 minutes, just sitting. I could be listening to the radio, could just be listening to my thoughts, doing some breath work. That helps with that stress management. And, you know, I think we all want it, this to be this like 10 steps, you know, stress-free life, right? Like, and for some people, just that 5 minutes in the car is all they need.
Yes. And I love that you mentioned that, because I also say that, you know, don't think, you know, don't think that the ice cream or the, you know, the Netflix binge or the ordering another pizza is actually what your heart needs, right? It can be that you just go for a walk.
Yeah.
It can be that you just sit with yourself and ask, what is it that I need right now? And it's such a good exercise, because what you needed when you were in your 20s versus your 30s versus your 60s is so different. Like, you constantly have to have that internal relationship with yourself to check in and be like, what do I need right now?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be different.
And, you know, that was one of the, you know, after my coach made me ask those two questions, what I was feeling and what was it leaving? And she's like, you've evolved. And she goes, now you just have to be like, what do I need right now? And that's just like, you know, a journal question. And I feel for me, and I know I always like preach the journaling to so many people, because like, that's what helped me just to get out of the like tornado of my world, was just like, ask that question. You know, you ask yourself the question, what do I need right now? And sometimes I'm like, I need nothing. And then sometimes I'm like, you know, I need $1 million and a cup of coffee. And it's like, you know, it just, it always changes. And so like, you know, you ask yourself, you tell you, I need $1 million, a cup of coffee. And you're like, well, what would you do with that $1 million? So it just like, it feeds into other questions that you would ask yourself. And eventually you're like, all right, so that just means I'm just going to write an email and get ready for, you know, my next offer that I'm selling.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can go down like several rabbit holes just on this one thing alone, but one of the things too, that we have to be really careful about is it's very easy to give into our sneaky little brain that says things like, oh, what you really need is stay committed to your plan and finish all this today. And
right. You know, do all 500 things.
Yeah. And yes, like there is a part of us that wants to do that. Right. But then really what we need to do, and this is what we were talking about earlier about just building in the reps, you know, building that muscle over time, is what we need to do is we need to sit with ourselves in silence and just ask the deepest part of us. And again, this takes a little time to trust what we're hearing, to just sit with the deepest part of us and then ask that part.
Yeah.
What do you need right now?
Yeah.
And if you really trust yourself, you'll know when you hear the answer.
And it comes, and you know, the one thing that I think so many people get caught up is that like, they want it to be like, all right, what do I need right now? And it's to like immediately, and it'd be like, you're taking an order at Dunkin' Donuts. And sometimes it doesn't come, you know, sometimes you're like, but you open the door, right? You open the door crack for your subconscious to start to be like, oh, wait, so I can come out now. I can start to tell you some things that you're ready to hear. And, you know, it's a process. And I think everyone needs to just realize like, it's not overnight. And, you know,
And I love where this conversation is going, because a big part of getting to know that part of yourself and really having stress, you know, managed well, is you're actually cultivating deep compassion and love for yourself.
Yes.
Right. Are you worthy to take the time off? You know, do you love yourself enough to know that even if this one thing that you think is so important falls to the ground, that you're going to be okay? Like that, ultimately, it always kind of boils down to this really deep hole that we are trying to cover up within ourselves. And when we can get to that and like really heal that, then, you know, literally all the that unnecessary stress will just kind of melt away, because that's really what we're trying to cover up. That's really what we're trying to, you know, not really look at.
Well, you know what? So you just hit like 5 nails. So I'm like, oh crap. How do I like unpack all the nails that you said that? First, so many of my ladies get caught up in the list. This is my to-do list. And if I don't do 500 things on this list, I suck. I can't sleep because I'm like, I didn't get it all done. So what am I going to do tomorrow? My list is even longer for tomorrow. You know, how do you, like you said, how do I give myself the out that it's okay if I only choose 3 things and just crush those 3 things?
Yeah. Yeah. Because ultimately the question is, what are you making it mean when you don't hit the list? Like what does this list have against you?
And no one's holding you to that list but you. Like, so it's not like you're missing client deadlines or you're missing things for your boss or whatever. It's a list you determined needed to be done in the day.
And here's the thing, right? How many times do you look at your child or your partner or someone you love, like just literally anyone that you deeply respect and love, truly love? Can you really look at them and say, you know what? You're more worthy if you do that. You literally are like, you are so enough. You are so enough. I hope you know that. But really, do you say that to yourself every day?
No.
Right? Like, do you actually believe that about yourself every single day in everything that you're doing? Because, you know, the reason why most people are like striving so hard at doing something is that they think life will be better there. Ooh. I will have a better quality of life. I will be happy and more people will like me.
Oh yeah.
But if you can literally let that go and just believe with the same amount of belief of whomever that person is in your mind, that you're just like, God, you are so enough. And you said that about yourself. Oh my God. Everything that you do after that, people will feel that energy.
Yeah.
Right. Like you will be more into your work or whatever it is that you do 100,000 times, you know, more than you were with the person or the identity of how you were, you know, going at it before.
Yeah.
And so that's just really key. Like we have to really come back to that.
Yeah, no, you were like, what you just said was just like, I need to like put that on like a speaker and like walk around the world. Because you're right. Like I tell myself that if I do all these 50 things, whatever I perceive is the benefit, right? I think there's benefit by doing these 50 things. And so I guess the first question is like, if I do three, is that enough? And you have to say, yeah, it is enough, because it's like, that was my capacity today. You know, like maybe your kid got sick, or, you know, your boss threw something last minute at you, you got a flat tire. Like that's your capacity today. And that's okay. And you said, give yourself that compassion, because if maybe you asked your husband or your spouse to do something and they didn't get it done, would you be like, you suck? It would be like, all right.
Well, and here's the thing too, right? Yeah. And here's the thing too, is like a really fun exercise. Well, fun for me, not fun for my clients, is when you, I like to ask them that question of what if you can never get it done?
Ooh.
How are you going to have fun in your life? Okay. How are you going to live with that? Like what needs to change inside of you in order for life to just finally be okay? Because, you know, if you've ever been through like an illness or something really tragic, you know, in your life that really does challenge you, there comes a point where you have to ask yourself, okay, fine. If this is how my life is, something's got to change inside. Like what now? Am I really going to be stressed out 24/7 till the rest of my life and until I die? No. It's, you know, like something's got to change. And so if you have to ask yourself, if this is how life is, how can I have fun right now? Because really, what's really happening is, yes, we need to learn how to manage stress. But for most people, it's, you really don't know how to be happy. You don't know how to be content. You don't know how to love yourself just the way that things are.
Oh my God. Those are like a couple of like, you know, punches to the gut right there. Like, you know, what if it never gets done? Like, whoa, like, you know, of all the things on your list and you're kind of trying to prioritize and you're just like, if I don't paint the garage, is it okay? You know, is the house going to fall down? No, it's just a nice to have.
Right. Yeah. And I'll give you some context as to why this is such a fun question to ask. And just to see the reaction is because, you know, years ago, I went through adrenal fatigue. Mm-hmm. And if anyone's been through adrenal fatigue, you know that it's so debilitating, because you literally get your identity taken away.
Yep.
You can't do anything.
Yep.
And you seriously wonder, like, do I have to live with this for the rest of my life? And if you're human, what you do is you do everything. You will spend any amount of money to try and fix yourself and find a solution. But there comes a point where there is nothing out there that's actually going to change something inside about how you feel.
Right.
And so you then have to ask yourself the question, okay, if this is my life, if this is how I have to live, what now?
Yeah.
How do I have fun today? What do I want to do for myself? How can I just move on and live an amazing life regardless?
Yeah.
And it's really interesting, because once you live in that question, like once you live in that vibration and that energy, guess what? Guess where your attention is? It's not on the illness.
No.
And you start living this amazing life. And then 90 days later, you're like, oh, that's right. I used to have adrenal fatigue.
Right. You get your labs back and they're like, oh my gosh, you're doing so well. And you're just like, it's sad that it takes, you know, you to be literally like dragged down to the ground with adrenal fatigue, where you're like, you just can't, you no longer can like beat your body into submission, because your body's like, uncle. But you're right. You're like, what now? Cause it's like, it's either change or die.
Yeah. And I'm always trying to, you know, get people to see, you know, please, if you can, if your human brain can like really latch onto this idea, make the change now before you actually get to the suffering part.
Yeah. I had a guest on, God, maybe a year ago. And she said the most profound thing that I like, it just like reverberates in my brain still to this day. And she's like, if you can't hear your body whisper, how are you going to hear it scream? And I was just like, because, you know, you had adrenal fatigue, like for how long do you think your body was like, hey girl, hey girl, hey girl, before it was like,
Right. Before it just gets your attention because you can't ignore it anymore.
Right. But
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I think, you know, it's funny, like as we were, you know, we started this conversation, I was like, oh, I don't know where this is going to go. What about, you know, I was like, there's no pat answer. That's the one thing that I am taking away from this conversation. There's no pat answer, right? And, you know, people want to know, like, you know, take an order, like, okay, so I got my phone, what do I got to do? And, you know, you're like, ask yourself some really hard questions and take the time.
Yeah. And you're right. There is no pat answer because every single person and what's going on in their brain and what they're ultimately afraid of or haven't healed or whatnot is going to be different for every single person.
Right. Right.
Right. And so you're right. And it's like the brain and the tape that is looping is always different for everyone.
Right.
And you have to work with that. You have to understand yourself enough to, you know what is it for me? Do I even know what my brain is saying constantly?
Yeah.
Because I'm believing it. You, if you believe it, you don't know.
No, you
because
don't
you're
know.
Just operating.
Because it's like every, so I have some clients who check in with me every week and I ask a question on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you say your stress is? 10 is like, I'm on fire. And 0 is like, it's been a great week. And a lot of people give me 5 and I'm like, is it really 5 or is it 5+ you don't really want to say? And for every time someone says 5, I'm like, what's going on? And, you know, crickets, like, you know, they can't really, you know, put a name to what's wrong, you know, or the pat answer, work or life or, you know, and I get it. You know, we have those weeks that life comes at you fast and yeah, you can have a week of like, what was me? And then you got to come up and say, okay, what was me? How do we change? How do we process this moment?
Right. Yeah. Oh my God. I honestly, if we had more time, like we can go down another rabbit hole in terms of, oh God, like how, what we do is basically basing our feeling on something that happened in the past. And we rarely check in with what's going on right here. Because every time we go to the past and be like, oh yeah, that was stressful. And that was stressful. And that was stressful. Then we just assume I am a stressed out person, right?
Yes.
Instead of asking in this moment, how do I feel right now?
Right.
And why? Right. And then in the next moment, how do I feel right now? And why? And just being able to follow yourself through the different emotions and just understand that emotions come and go, but you're never one thing. And I feel like once we identify as, oh, I'm just a worrier, or I'm just a depressed person, or I'm just a stressed out person all the time, we have to be very careful.
Yes.
Because when we believe and latch on to that thought, every time you think that thought and believe it, what's happening in our body is like all the neurons are firing and it's stress.
Right.
And our constant state will be stress.
And you just, again, another rabbit hole that we can go on. I hear that a lot. Like, I'm just a blank. And so you kind of think to yourself, like, did you give yourself that label or was that label given to you? And do you want to not be that label anymore?
Right. Yeah. It takes a lot of conscious awareness and just observation of what's going on in your brain. And just recognizing that even a thought is passing. You don't have to latch onto it and be like, oh yeah, that's me.
Right.
It takes a lot of work. But once you can just recognize the moment for what it is, see the thought, let it go. Oh, there goes that feeling again. Let me feel the vibration. Okay, let it go. Then you can just be who you are in every single moment and experience the moment for what it is instead of constantly like holding on to this heavy load of like all the thoughts of who you think you are and like all these feelings that you've never released. And then like your whole experience is kind of filtered through that always.
Yeah. Cause I think we get caught up into, you know, identities, you know, especially work, right. You know, like you at work can be, you know, Susan, the go-to girl, and that, you know, she will always text you back no matter what time of day or email you back or, you know, my problems will come your problems and you'll deal with them, you know? And I think so many of us, a lot of our stress is coming from, you know, worthiness, enoughness, and creating boundaries. Like, be like, hey, look, it's a long weekend and I'm going to tap out at 5 o'clock and I'm not going to pick up my phone until Monday. And being comfortable, like not having that low grade anxiety because you're like, oh shit, I should be answering that phone. I should. And you're like that chatter in your brain because you've set a boundary that you're afraid to like enforce.
Right. Yeah. Boundaries is a whole nother conversation. That's a good one. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So as I'm kind of like thinking about all of what, you know, what I see the spectrum, you know, from clients and just from, you know, people in general is that, you know, it's that boundary. It's those identities that we've given to ourselves. And it's just not processing what's happening in the moment and really saying, is this real stress or am I just like freaking out because that's what I always do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's multifaceted and we kind of threw a lot at the people that are listening.
I know. Because
literally like each kind of nugget could be a conversation or two or three or five in and of itself. But if you can kind of grasp onto that macro level concept, I mean, I think you're walking away with a lot of ahas that you sit and just being able to check in with yourself and kind of, you know, asking those core questions of which part of me is thinking this or believing this right now? What is the fact and what's the story that I'm saying, telling myself?
Right. And, you know, as I kind of, you know, as I'm looking at this and like, you know, wrapping up the conversation, it's like, you know, it's not about trying harder to be perfect or trying harder to like, you know, max out your to-do list. It's like, how do I just get better at my feelings?
Yes.
So instead of trying harder to be like, go, 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 how do we get started at like just feeling the feelings and like letting them flow through and being okay that it might take me a little bit to figure it out. Like I don't have to.
Yes.
I don't have to like speed through it like Speed Racer and I don't have to name it today. It could just be like, oh, wait, I recognize this. I still don't know what it is, but I've had this before.
Right. And, you know, just I'll leave with this is just ask yourself the question as you're feeling the feeling, what is this feeling trying to tell me?
Ooh.
How is it trying to protect me?
Mm.
And just sit with that. Right. Because I think that the first step is recognizing that the feeling is now to get you.
Right.
It's actually there for a reason. Right. And so we need to understand that.
Yeah. I think that is, we have a lot of like self-preservation in us that, you know, especially, you know, most of the women who listen to my podcast are 40 plus years. So we've had a lot of life and a lot of, you know, just shit has come at us that maybe we don't even realize that it came at us. And so it's still kind of deep in our subconscious that our brain's like, oh no, we have to protect you
from
whatever the feeling happens to come up. But Susan, this was just like everything that I wanted it to be. And what I loved most about this conversation was that it wasn't this like, okay, so on Mondays, take a bath. On Tuesdays, you're going to journal. On Wednesday, like, no, it was like, okay, girls, like, if you really want to get rid of the stress, you got to start getting real. Like you still got to like just sit down and just like figure shit out. Like there's no like pat answer.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot of deep work. And when people are ready to do the deep work, you will become a different person on the other side of it because you're actually changing and shifting the things that you believe and feel inside. So that how you see the world, how you interact with the world becomes completely transformed.
Yeah. That right there. And that, you know, I know that many of you will say, oh, I'm too busy right now. I know that. Yeah, great. Whatever the excuse is, fine. I get it. Right. We all have our own lives to live, but I just want to just ask that hard question. Do I want to live this life? Like, is this the life I want to live? Because I know Susan in her experience, you know, sadly, same thing for me. Sadly, it was my health that like literally put me in a chokehold. We don't want your health to put you in that chokehold for you to choose a different path. So even just like simply sitting in your car for 5 minutes before you come in, or maybe your kids are making you crazy and you sit in your car for 5 minutes, whatever it is, but like give yourself that space And know that you're not going to have the answer tomorrow. Maybe you're not going to have the answer in 3 months, but know that you're just asking the questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ah, this has been absolutely fabulous. So where can people find you out in the world?
So the best place to find me is at my website. It's www.stressproofpodcast.com. And then from there, you'll be able to find all the podcasts, all the resources. I have free resources on the website as well for people who are new to my world.
So I, you know, went deep into Susan's world before I booked her on the podcast. And I got to say, she just knows her stuff. And if you are ready and this resonated with you at all, definitely make your way all the way over there. I've also listened to a few of her podcasts as well. So it's worth a binge because I started with one and I was like, okay, 3 hours later, I'm like, I got to pull up because I got things to do. So definitely, if you haven't like taken away at least one or two nuggets from this, listen again. And whatever the nuggets you are, do me a favor, screenshot it and shout it out, shout us out and let us know, because I really, and Susan really wants us to not live a stressful life. It can be stress-proof. We just got to do the work. So
yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining me. This was just so good.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Kim, for inviting me to the podcast. And it was such a pleasure just getting to know you, and I love being here. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.